Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There is plenty of betrayal to go around. It's not particular to any region. It's not particular to any political party. It's not particular to any institution.
New York State Senator Tom Duane from yesterday's show on the widespread betrayal that he felt from the defeat of gay marriage in the Senate on Wednesday, 38-24. But one of those who had been considered a swing senator likely to vote yes was Democrat Joseph Addabbo of a swing district in Howard Beach, Queens. In fact, the gay website Towel Road has as its homepage headline right now, "Senator Addabbo, Most Heinous Defector." Freshman State Senator Joseph Addabbo of Queens joins us now to discuss his vote. Senator, thank you very much for coming into the open to do this. Welcome back to WNYC.
No, good morning, Brian.
So what happened?
Well, you know, I guess I would be a defector if at some point, whether it be in my campaign last year or any point this year, I would have said that, yes, I was going to vote for the marriage equality bill, but at no point did I ever say yes. I always promised all, both advocates of the bill and proponents and as well as opponents of the bill, that I would keep an open mind and up to the vote. Nobody in the media and very, very few of my elected official colleagues and very few of my constituents, if any, knew of my position. The reason being, it was my intention to keep an open mind, and by doing so, I felt that I would get a clear indication of where my district stands on this issue. If I was to say that I was against the bill early on, then the only people I would hear from were those who were for it. Conversely, if I said I was for the bill, then the only people I would hear from were those who were be against it. And because I didn't indicate either way, I feel that of the over 400 emails, faxes, phone calls, conversations that I had with constituents, you know, the 74% who said that they would not want their state senator to vote for this bill was a clear indication where my district was on this issue. And when I took my oath in January to become a state senator, it was to represent the people of the 15th senatorial district. And certainly when you have a clear consensus of the people of the district on a certain issue, that's the way I think an elected official has to
go. Are those calls really a clear representation of the opinions of your district? I mean, as a talk show host, I know how unscientific it is to measure public opinion by who chooses to call in. You must know that, too, from your experience in office, don't you?
Well, you know, even if we were to discard the 400, and I do, I think it's not a clear indication. It's some indication. And, again, it's so disparate. 74% is quite a large margin. But even if we were to take that aside, of the people I encountered, whether it be at civic meetings, whether it be at I do office hours on Saturdays in libraries, as I go to the grocery store, of those people who I see in just every day when I'm in the district, inevitably the people who wanted to talk about this issue in my district were against it. And everyone knew how conservative my district was, and it is. It's a very conservative district.
Well, you know that the oppositional juice may be stronger than the juice in support for those who want to stand up and try to stop it. But if 74% of your callers said to deport all the Hispanics in your district, would you vote for that?
I think it's a different issue. It's apples and oranges. You know, there is, like I said, each issue is very different. And certainly as an elected official, you know, I am the voice of the people of my district in Albany. And certainly we take issue by issue.
This is the basis on which to base a vote on civil rights?
You know what? This is an issue that people have a strong opinion on. And, you know, with marriage equality, it's like the spokes of a wheel. There are conversations that you can have on this issue on many levels. You know, whether it be on the civil rights issue, on the religious issue, on the morality issue, it's different issues, and it's different for everyone. And I understand the magnitude of the issue, and I understand what it meant to a lot of people, many of those people who had supported me. But like I said, you know, it makes me be put in a very serious situation when I have to represent, you know, a district and be their voice in Albany.
Do you consider this a civil rights issue?
I could see that argument. I could see the religious argument. I could see the morality argument. Again, I could see the argument on many levels. This issue has that many levels to it.
Do you believe personally that gay marriage should be legal?
You know what? I've always kept my feelings personal because I am but one opinion. And it's really an issue that I don't have strong convictions on either way. That's why I did keep an open mind. I felt I was most neutral up until the end.
My guest, State Senator Joseph Addabbo of Queens, a key no vote in the gay marriage vote on the Senate floor in Albany this week. I mentioned the gay website Towel Road and its homepage headline that's up there this morning. Senator Addabbo, most heinous defector. I know you said you're not a defector because you never said you'd vote yes. It quotes Van Kapel, head of the Empire State Pride Agenda, the gay rights lobbying group, who says, "I think if there is disappointment in a real big way, I think I'm very disappointed in Joe Addabbo. I think Joe Addabbo is better than his vote." Excuse me. What do you say to Van Kapel? What do you say to the gay press calling you heinous?
Well, first of all, Alan and I have had a pretty good long working relationship as I have voted for equal rights while I was a city council member. I'm very, very proud of those votes that I took in city council, granting many people equal rights with others. And I still hope to continue to work with Alan on other issues. I think, and again, you'd have to talk to Alan, but in my opinion, he's most, I guess, disappointed in me because I guess many people saw in me at least the opportunity of possibly getting a yes vote, whereas previously with the previous senator, they weren't getting it. And I guess that's what their hope was. I could not have determined where I was on this issue until I worked in the district and spoke to the people of my district.
And the website Towel Road says, quote, "Addabbo, who supported gay rights on the city council and claimed an open mind on marriage equality in last fall's campaign, was one of the prime recipients of support last fall from the Democratic State Senate Campaign Committee, to which the LGBT community made significant contributions. Addabbo also secured the maximum donation allowed, $9,500, from software entrepreneur Tim Gill, founder of influential gay philanthropic and political action organizations." Is that all true about those campaign donations?
Oh, sure it is. And I'm grateful for not only the donations, but the hundreds of volunteers who helped me in my campaign who might have been, you know, in favor of the marriage equality bill. And I'm grateful for all that support. And again, if anybody would call my office, even if they disagree with me on this bill, if they were to call my office on another issue for their community, I would certainly help them. So while I am grateful, they all knew that I did not confirm a yes vote on the marriage equality bill from the outset. In my interview with, you know, the Gill Fund, I could not commit until I told them, until I got into the district as an elected official and spoke to my people. So I never committed to the yes vote. The only thing I did commit to and I stood firm on was to keep an open mind. So everyone knew this. Everyone knew that they had a better shot with me than maybe the previous senator, but that I didn't commit.
So I guess you'll have to run for re-election without their money again, you think?
Most likely, you know, but again, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, they see that I work hard on every issue, and this is one major issue. I understand that for many people, but I work hard on every issue. So now that we are done with this issue, and it seems that we are going to the governor, we need to then take the next step forward and look at everyone and say, when we talk about education or we talk about transportation or health care or any other issue, that I'm going to talk to about these issues for all of my people in all segments and all communities throughout my district. And these are the issues that now we're going to have to take up and work hard for.
Well,
work hard on every issue.
It's interesting that you put it that way, because we had New York State Senator Diane Savino, Democrat from Staten Island and part of Brooklyn, on yesterday. And she voted yes and helped lead the supporters of the bill on the Senate floor. And she talked about why she didn't think she was taking a political risk to vote for gay marriage when she represents also a predominantly more conservative Roman Catholic district.
First of all, I am who I am. And when I ran for office the first time, I was very explicit with the things that I believe in. And as I said, most voters are not single-issue voters. And if they are, they weren't going to vote for me to begin with. I'm not going to tailor my legislative agenda or my political career to the fear that I may offend, you know, one particular segment of the voting population. Because if you do that, then you're incapable of delivering for the vast majority.
So you seem to describe yourself similarly to Senator Savino in that respect, yes?
Well, I think every district is different, and every elected official governs differently. I have a philosophy that I've practiced throughout the city council and now as a state senator to try and represent, you know, again, like Diane said, Senator Savino, the vast majority of the people in the district. And I think with this issue, I did. But everybody is different. Every elected official does things differently. Again, my philosophy is I work for my people. It's not just about my opinion, but about the opinion of all my people.
So,
and when you have a strong consensus coming from your district as an elected official, you have to be, in my opinion, you have to be that voice. And that's what I did.
So you're more afraid of a conservative backlash than a liberal backlash for next year's election, yes?
I'm not afraid of anything. I work hard, and I put that, you know, body of work, all, the entire body of work that I do on the line every election, you know, cycle. And it's up to the people to send me back. If they send me back, I work the hardest for them to the next election cycle. That's what I do. You know, so I'm there as long as the people want me there.
Your colleague Deborah Glick from the state legislature called in and wanted me to ask you how many of the assembly members who share a district with Addabbo voted his way. In other words, she's trying to make the point that, as reflected by your colleagues who also represent the same constituents, your district is not as fiercely conservative on this issue as you're representing.
Well, first being said, Brian, you know, my district, it comprises, I think, at least four assembly people. So that's again, a hard formula to calculate in the sense of justifying any vote that I take.
How many of those four voted no? Do you know?
Oh, there was one. Mike Miller. But that, again, it's apples and oranges because it's a different legislative body and everybody is different. I govern my own way for my people. And again, my people should always understand that I'm going to stand by at least the majority, and again, the vast majority of people who certainly were a certain position on this issue, but I'm going to work for my people. And I put that work on the line every other year.
Do you think you're you're quoted in one paper today saying your district was 50-50 at the beginning of the year, but the recession has knocked support for gay marriage way down. Did you say something like that?
Not to my knowledge, no. I've always said that, you know, I have kept an open mind for the reason being that I wanted a pure, you know, indication of where my district was on this issue. Whether they were 50-50 early on, you know, maybe at some point, I'm sure we all start off at 0% or 50-50, but, you know, like I said, in the end, it was clear 74% did not want me to vote yes.
74% of those who actually called your office.
Not only called. It's called, it's letters, it's emails, it's, you know, conversations that I have had with constituents. You know, over 400 people, to me, it's a pretty good indication.
Is it accurate, the way Tower Road described you, as pro-gay rights in your city council record?
Oh, yeah. And again, my record, and I'm proud of that record. Again, even those, you know, staunch conservatives who could not embrace the marriage equality bill, when I spoke to them, if I had the opportunity, I spoke to them in a little expanded conversation about equal rights, their attitude changed. And they said, oh, I don't mind equal rights, just don't call it marriage. So for equal rights, I'm very proud of those votes, and I'll continue to fight for equal rights for all. But like I said, this marriage equality bill is totally different from anything I've done at the city council level.
But you didn't fight for equal rights in this case, correct?
Again, it's different. Marriage equality is different, first of all, and second of all, of the opinion of my district. You know, again, being the vast majority who didn't want me to vote for it, their elected official did their job when it came time to vote.
Anything else you want to say?
Any other questions?
No, yeah, and I'm offering you a platform on this, on the way out
no,
the door.
No, listen, you know, my point of view is this. It was a tough vote. I wish, you know, if I had any hindsight, I wish it would have been discussed more in conference, you know, amongst my colleagues. I wish it would have been cultivated a little bit more. I'm not saying that would have made a difference in anybody's vote, but, you know, this kind of issue, I think, should have been spoken about as a group more often. You know, maybe, you know, now that we've taken the vote and the Senate and the Assembly have done their respective legislative jobs, you know, the conversation could be expanded on a referendum, which already has occurred, you know, the talk about a referendum and bringing the vote to the people. You know, so, like I said, there's many avenues that, you know, one can go down on this issue.
You vote alphabetically in a Senate roll call.
Yes.
So you, being named Addabbo, have the privilege and the pressure of voting second.
Second.
And one of the Republicans who might have voted yes, James Alessi from Monroe County, is quoted today saying, but kind of attributing his no vote in part to you. He said, quote, Addabbo voting no on this made it very clear that the support that the Democrats thought they had in their own conference was far less than what they really did. And Addabbo's vote was a clear signal that this thing was going to go down in flames, unquote. So it sounds like if you had voted yes, you could have flipped Alessi, and then the stampede could have been in the other direction.
No.
Not true?
No, I don't think so. If we look at even before my vote, the only people who spoke on the floor about the bill were those who were in favor, with the exception of Reverend Diaz, who we always knew was against it. So I think it was a clear indication that the Republican side of the aisle was clear about what their positions were on this bill. That being said, if you just look on the Democratic side of the aisle, there were still not enough votes. Even if you take my one vote and put it to the yes column, you're still seven down. And I don't think that there were four other Republicans on the other side.
So if you voted yes and then Alessi voted yes, then there would have been a lot of pressure on people in the other direction, right?
I don't think so. I think as a conference, they understood what they were going to do, again, given the fact that nobody spoke on the bill. I think coming into the room, it was clear that there were not enough votes. It was certainly clear that it wasn't a strong majority to vote for it, number one. That was clear. I also think it was clear that there were not enough votes.
What about people not speaking against it on the floor? Only Diaz spoke out against it, as you said. Many of the supporters did stand up and speak out for it. And people are calling it cowardly that other than Diaz, nobody stood up on the floor and articulated their opposition, being willing to have that soundbite out there before the vote.
Well, I can't speak for others why they speak or don't speak on a certain bill. I can't.
And with respect to yourself?
I hardly ever do I explain my vote. Certainly after the vote, I was certainly ready to explain my vote, and I've explained my vote to many. Via phone call, via interviews like this one. And I welcome the opportunity to explain my vote. But certainly, I didn't see a need to, exasperate the issue at the day of the vote.
You have the Republicans naming you by name as a key factor. This went down, as Alessi did. You have the gay rights groups naming you by name as especially important, like Alan Van Cappel. But you're not owning this.
Nobody of the people you mentioned were in my conference discussing it. The minimal time that it was discussed, none of those people were in my conference like I was. So I know when I say that we didn't have enough votes in my conference, regardless of my vote, because again, none of my colleagues knew my position until the end, that I knew I didn't influence others. I wasn't out there telling others to vote no on the bill or to consider voting yes. I kept my opinion as to today, to myself. So nobody knew of my vote, so I couldn't have been influential.
Well, again, State Senator Joseph Addabbo, freshman from Queens, Howard Beach, and thereabouts, thank you very much for coming on and explaining.
My pleasure, Brian. Look forward to working with you in the future.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. More from Albany. We'll follow up on this with Ken Lovett, the Daily News Albany Bureau Chief, in a minute.